Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
We're all fired up. We're ready for the big game. We understand that the Jaguars have made it, and everything is on schedule.
Yeah, now the question is, can you guys get out of bed early Sunday morning to be ready for kickoff, right? It's going to start early. Bears...
Are you talking to us, Brad? We're sleeping in on Sunday. Are you questioning our diligence here?
Well, I mean, Dave, you're wearing a lot of hats these days.
Okay, Brad.
No, but the Bears are on the practice field right now. They'll probably be wrapping up in the next half hour or so. Working on red zone today. They'll have a walkthrough tomorrow. They've got the field painted at Tottenham Hotspur's stadium. And so it's full speed ahead to Sunday's kickoff.
You can call them Spurs, you know. That's kind of that's the abbreviation if it helps you not having to say Tottenham.
Is it like a feeder team to the San Antonio club?
No relation to them, but they are Spurs, just FYI.
So I guess it was big news over here at Wembley last night at the game that I did not go to because Harry Kane had a knocker, which means he
had a knock.
Some type of injury?
Yeah.
He had a knock. Greece comes in and beats England 2-1, maybe the first time that's ever happened. So flutter about that this morning.
Brad Biggs talks soccer with you.
Yeah. I know nothing about the game. Nothing at all.
That's fine. It was a big deal in England. I'm sure they're all still kind of got their dander up over it.
Their dander up. I love it. You're like lapsing into British Mully.
No, I'm sure they're very upset. But I'm curious, Brad, just talking about the injury list, the very fact that Tevin Jenkins did not participate in anything yesterday after having been imaginarily limited and the walkthrough the day before. What does that mean? Does that mean he's unlikely to?
I think he's going to practice today. And if he practices today and there's not a setback, I would imagine he's starting. But they've got to be encouraged what they saw from Bill Murray when he replaced him this past week, and knowing that if they've got a call on Murray moving forward, maybe he'll be able to step up and answer the call. It's frequent when Tevin comes out of ball games, right? This isn't a new development. Availability has been a fair question for him rookie season, and that continues out of the last two ball games, one with a rib, and this past week with an ankle.
Let's talk about that Jaguar defensive line, because you look at that as a possibility if the Bears' offensive line is compromised. Edge rushers Josh Hines-Allen, Trevon Walker, they're going to be a problem. Our old buddy Roy Robertson-Harris, a former Bear, works into the mix there. I wonder if Eric Armstead, is he healthy and going to play, Brad? What do you think about this Jaguar defensive line? Is it an area that could control this football game?
It's solid. They've seen better this season. Okay, and you know Walker, I think he's been a disappointment to them. That was a missed draft choice. Allen has flashed at times. I don't think he's elite as a pass rusher, but they played really well against the run. I think they're coming into this game eighth in the league against the run. So the Bears have got their work cut out for them. We've seen them struggle to run the ball unless they've played some really poor run defenses, and they want to be able to stay balanced. They don't want to be forced in second and eight, second and nine situations. So that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. It's going to be a challenge for that offensive line. They're going to have to be better. You know, you need to give them credit. Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, and those guys up front, they've played better the past 2 weeks, but a portion of the conversation has to be level of difficulty, who the opponent was, what they were facing, and it's only going to get more challenging as the season unfolds.
Brad, you wrote about the very fact that the Bears they're fourth in the NFL with a 37.2% pressure rate, which is excellent, and they're not blitzing much. They're actually 25th in blitzing at 22.7%. So they're getting pressure on the quarterback with their front four. You know, you say one of the reasons Eric Washington was brought in is because of his ability to work with the pass rushers. Do you credit him for part of the reason of the fact that they're able to get pressure with their front four?
I think he's part of it, right? It's all you got a lot of factors there. You've got Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
You've got DeMarcus Walker a year ago. You've got the addition of Darrell Taylor. I think Matt Eberflus has been pretty crafty when he has dialed up the blitz, right? Like the timing seems to have worked really well. You know, you are seeing free rushers at times when they bring more than four. When they actually do blitz, you're seeing a guy that's got a free path. Maybe it doesn't result in a sack, but it's a pressure, or the ball's got to come out early. So Andrew Billings has rushed the quarterback probably better than he has at any point previously in his career. We've seen Jervon Dexter take a step up. He's got four sacks right now. So I think Washington's part of it, and that's been one of the keys to their defense. That's why those cornerbacks have been able to play well. You know, defensively, they've been strong, and Jacksonville's been better on offense the past 2 weeks. You know, Trevor Lawrence was sacked 11 times in the first three games of the season. I believe he's only been sacked once the last 2 weeks, so you've seen more production from that passing game. They want to make him uncomfortable on Sunday.
So, Brad, when you look at the Shane Waldron mandate, you wonder what he's thinking going in against a defense that gives up 288 yards against the pass in the air, worst in the league, and yet you have had 2 weeks in a row where your identity is rooted in your ability to play a little more power football and run heavy attack and game plan. Which direction do you think he will go Sunday against the Jaguars?
Well, you got to have balance, right? You just balance is essential for any quarterback. I think it's paramount for a rookie. I know it's paramount for a rookie. So they need to be able to, keep Jacksonville off balance. They need to be able to run when Jacksonville's thinking pass, and pass when Jacksonville's thinking run. I don't think you can look at this Jacksonville front and be scared about running against it. They should be able to be productive again. Just stay, you know, on proper down and distance. Get yourself into second and six. You get 4 yards on a first down run, you're fine. Second and six leaves you a world of possibilities. I don't think you look at the personnel that Jacksonville has and think you got to do something significantly different than what you've been doing the past couple weeks when things have looked better. They've sort of had an identity beginning to take shape and form, and the quarterbacks look more comfortable.
So, Brad, every time you break down a game, you see a pathway for success for each team, and that's kind of what you balance. This is a 1-4 football team that is underachieved. I'm talking about Jacksonville. And then they get here, And whether it's a slight delay and whether it matters or not, they were delayed in their arrival. There are reasons you could look at them and kind of wonder what's going on with their possibilities of winning this game. Ditto the Bears, right? They've got a young quarterback. They've got they've seen progress, but they're hardly setting the world afire. You would like the idea that the receiving core all healthy now, everybody, you've figured out something. Break down the game for us. What will be the biggest element in the game? How do you see it going? And what do you what did you pick for it?
I think the Bears front is going to be able to make things difficult and challenging for Trevor Lawrence, and because they've had difficulty keeping him clean in the pocket, and Lawrence has got a history now in the league of when he is uncomfortable, when he can't set his feet and throw, that he's going to make a couple really poor decisions in a game. And those are the kind of plays where I think the Bears can feast. So I think it's an opportunity for the defensive front to continue to shine. You know, they've got sort of the standalone stage, right, with the early morning game. Offensively, I think provided the Bears continue to not turn the football over, they've done a real nice job of that here recently. I think there's a clear path to victory. I've got the Bears winning this 27-14, guys.
Wow. I had 27-17. That's a good lopsided prediction there, Brad. Interesting. Before we let you go.
But they got to watch it because this is a Jacksonville team that it might not be desperate yet with the record, but they got to be inching close to that. And a desperate opponent is often a dangerous one, and the Bears certainly aren't good enough at this point to overlook any opponent. So they've got to be aware of that and be ready to come out rolling from the start.
Great point. Doug Peterson may be coaching for his job. You never know when he may get fired next. Let's talk about what George McCaskey had to say yesterday, Brad, because he doubled down on what Kevin Warren said the day earlier. The Bears talking Lakefront Stadium still. Obviously, you understand because the trip to London, all of these issues get revisited. It's seldom that we hear from the general manager and the team president during the season, but here we heard from the chairman as well. What did you make of George McCaskey talking about building on the lakefront in the same way that Kevin Warren did and expressing his confidence in Kevin?
Yeah, well, he definitely expressed his confidence, and he said as much. He said, we've got confidence in Kevin Warren to get this done. That's why Kevin Warren was hired, right? That I think that was one of the appealing things about him as a candidate when Ted Phillips was going into retirement. Well, Kevin Warren was with the Minnesota Vikings when they went through the process of building a new stadium there. Now, he wasn't the point guy on that. He wasn't the number two guy on that, but he was on the business side of that organization when they went through the process of constructing U.S. Bank Stadium. So, experience and understanding how that happens. Now, my kind of outsider's take is that Kevin's probably encountered more hurdles than he might have expected for this massive undertaking. That's just my opinion. He hasn't expressed that, and he might say quite the opposite. I don't know, but yeah, George is gonna back him. George has got his faith in him. The family has the faith in Kevin to be able to get this done. I don't see a clear path to getting it done on the lakefront right away. They seem to think that with some upcoming sessions in the next year in Springfield that maybe they can get this thing launched. But the more you listen to people, there's an awful lot of skepticism out there in terms of their ability to get public funding to get the thing going, at least in the manner in which they would like at this point.
Brad, the Jags are probably a little bit better than they've looked. They probably aren't as bad as they appear to be from the start of their season. But how do you prevent them from gaining any kind of confidence within the game? Is it as simply done as pressuring them and getting, making sure the quarterback never feels comfortable? What's the key?
Yeah,
to doing
you know, you don't give them a short field, right?
Right.
You don't. Right. You don't. You don't have an error on special teams. You don't have a turnover deep in your own end. You make them go 60, 65, 70 or more yards against your defense, which that's going to be tough sledding against the Bears the way they've been playing lately. They're good enough to make it really difficult for Trevor Lawrence and the guys he has with them. So I you don't want to gift them anything, especially early in the game, because what we don't know about this Bears team yet is, you know, how equipped it is to play from behind in the second half if it's got to. We just haven't seen enough situations yet, enough experiences for them to understand how they'll be able to handle that. They want to be playing from ahead when this thing gets into the late third quarter, early fourth quarter.
So before we let you go quickly, have you heard much? Dustin has mentioned a couple of times about Trevor Lawrence, to knock against him, that he doesn't care about football or his devotion to the sport isn't what you want it to be for a franchise quarterback. Is that the rumbling around Jacksonville? Do you hear much of that?
I haven't heard that. Yeah, I haven't heard that. I mean, he's pretty talented when it's right around him, and that's, you know, for your quarterback to have a chance consistently, you've got to be able to protect him, and that, you know, he's drafted into a tough spot. What happens with all these quarterbacks that are taken at the top of the draft? They're, you know, the Bears were in a unique situation with kind of where they were at roster wise. These other guys are joining these teams that are just bad. Like, you don't get bad enough to get that pick overnight. Like, you've got a bad roster that's getting worse over time, and you bottom out and you wind up with that pick. And so you get a quarterback and you're trying to build it up around the guy, and they're still working on that. They've had some bright moments in Jacksonville with him, but that's a struggle, and that's why so many of those guys, they get going and then it doesn't work out. You know, Baker Mayfield was a top pick, and he's playing some good football with a different team, but he's bounced around a little bit and he's learned from his experiences. But in terms of, you know, Lawrence and his buy-in and what it means to him, maybe that's out there. I haven't heard any of that, and with people I've spoken to, but I don't, you know, I don't go fishing for a lot of stuff on Trevor Lawrence, to be perfectly honest with you.
Have you heard any of that about Nate David? Stop, David. Let's just.
Mean-spirited. I mean, it's Friday. That is mean-spirited.
You having fun, Brad? Are you having fun over there?
Matt Pryor will be starting right guard again on Sunday. Yeah, it's been a lot of work so far. Maybe get to hang out a little bit this weekend.
All right.
Hopefully practice wraps up here in a little bit and get back into the heart of the city before too much rush. Traffic's pretty gnarly over here, guys.
Gnarly. I like it.
Waxy McGann's, one of the all-time bars, Brad, a great Irish bar in the middle of London.
They drive on the wrong side of the road, too, guys. I don't know if you're aware of that.
We mentioned that. They've got some problems. Thank God we had a revolution. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
We appreciate
it. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
We should let you know our segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com.
And you are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers in IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com.
I bet Biggs is having a great time, but he's right, man. When you get caught in traffic like that,
it is gnarly.
It's tough.
It's
man.
Gnarly, as he says.
It's tough. He needs to get this game over, or get the practice over with, and get the heck out of there.
It's Friday.
Yeah. Hard to navigate traffic in London. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, our focus is on the Lakeshore, and we'll be happy if the stadium is built just south of Soldier Field.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So there's a lot going on in the city of Chicago in terms of stadia and in terms of generally construction. I don't know if you're looking for cranes, but my God, David, there is it just feels like every road in the city is torn up at this point of the year as we're eagerly trying to get everything finished. You can't even get out of the garage in our building.
No, you can't. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And in the context of building around, you know, structures and stadia, mm-hmm. as you point out, we're talking about the 78 in the mm-hmm. South Loop. The White Sox are looking at the patch of land there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the South Lot, south of Soldier Field, where the Bears want to build a dome stadium. We need to include what's going on the west side, because the 1901 Project, as it says on its website, 1901project.com, is a transformative $7 billion private investment on Chicago's west side, which is a collaboration between the Reinsdorf and Wirtz families,
yes.
the owners of the Bulls, White Sox, and the Blackhawks. And they are coming together to, it's a private investment project, and is going to change the complexion of the West Side.
Yeah, it's incredible. They had a news conference. See, I said this to you during the break. I don't think we talk about this, mainly because the building's already up, right? Mm-hmm. But also, it's privately funded. They're not looking for public money, so we're not outraged or trying to push back on anything.
It's a big part of it.
We're not appreciating what, and listen, you know, people don't do this sort of thing unless they're going to get something out of it, and I'm sure it's going to be a moneymaker, and they're going to change the whole structure of the city with this, but I mean, kudos to them.
It's
incredible.
It's an urban design strategy, as they say, 55 plus acres, private assets to bridge neighborhoods and create opportunities, 63,000 construction jobs. There's a lot of numbers that are, they can throw at you, and the impact is going to be for decades. And it's something that did go, I think, quietly. It was announced. And so we didn't pay as much attention to it. It doesn't receive as much scrutiny, because it isn't asking for public subsidies. And that's the difference, I think, when you talk about private versus public investment. And if this Bears project were to include, I think, maybe more private investment, it might be more likely to succeed, or we might be less cynical about its ability to succeed.
But back to what's going on with the other big projects in town. We're talking about, obviously, the Lakefront Dome, $2 billion pledged privately mm-hmm. from the Bears. They still would need 2.7 plus. Who are we kidding? It would end up being more than that.
It would be more than that.
For them to actually get that done, and we know what the timetable is because George talked. What's going on with the with the White Sox? What's going on with that project?
Well, they're giving tours of the 78 in the South
right,
Loop, and they're inviting people in the neighborhood to there. I think there's an event later this month in a week or so to kind of give people an idea of the vision that they have with Related Midwest. And I don't know where that stands in terms of the in proximity to where the Bears project stands. I don't know if one is really related to the other. We do know about the 78. The idea is that the White Sox will be an anchor tenant
right.
as part of a project that includes $9 billion in private investment or business investment into that area. And that is exciting if it can all, again, How do you pay for that?
Well, that's always the rub. We got some people want to check in. We'll start with Joe. Joe is on the road. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call, fellas. I don't understand the Bears' logic. I certainly hope for their sake Kevin Warren knows something that we don't. I understand his relationship with Mayor Johnson. But the reality is you're looking at, and the longer this plays out, like they're talking about, they've got three opportunities in terms of getting legislation from the state.
Yes.
You're talking about adding another 18 months before you can even hope to get your permitting and all your financing in order with a state that's on shaky financial grounds. The city's in poor shape, and that's who your partner is. So by the time this is done, look in terms of close to $7 billion, just because the costs, I'm in construction management, and I can tell you that is a very difficult area to build in for a number of logistical reasons. Plus, you are dependent on the city of Chicago for everything in terms of permitting and logistical support. And I'm here to tell you, fellas, that is always a difficult undertaking at best.
Hey, do you know what is going on with the price of steel? They have referenced that.
Kevin Warren referenced that the other day.
Keeping an eye on it. We have heard that the tariff costs apparently have made it like really expensive because people used to import steel from China, but there was a very high tariff on that now, so it's not necessarily any cheaper than what you could get here, and it's going absolutely through the sky.
In the last 18 months, the price of rolled homogeneous steel, now that's unprocessed, it's basically a standard girder, is up 23% in the last 18 months. And there's no sign of it lessening.
That's significant, so, yeah.
The amount of steel they're going to need for a stadium construction project is astronomical.
Time is money. Joe, that's a great phone call. Thank you for weighing in.
Thanks very much.
Giving us that perspective. It just it enhances or just adds to the idea that this is a very complicated situation. And when Kevin Warren talks about building on the lakefront and breaking ground in 2025 so they can open a stadium in 2028, seems wildly ambitious.
Well, I mean, again, if his timetable is correct, Joe's, then you're talking 18 months after you get any kind of approval.
That's why it's ambitious.
You're into like 27. You're breaking ground a lot later than you anticipated.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a lot to get to. We've got our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh, is going to join us next. We're going to get a chance to talk about his great picks last week, maybe one of the games he was given last week from somebody on the panel. I don't know. We could get into all of it. That Bulldog special came through. 47-point victory for the fine folks of Army. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
Joe Fortenbaugh at 7:45. What's 7:40?
That? Yeah.
Okay.
Get ready.
Can't wait.
Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. Our guy Joe Fortenbaugh is on fire, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. You don't have to get every pick right, Joe, but here's the deal. You tell people about Alabama struggling, and they lose that game, and you are a genius, my friend. Congratulations.
Good stuff, Joe.
I got to tell you, boys, it's a very nice welcome because we're leaving out all the other college picks, which were absolutely dreadful. The college picks have just been dreadful this season. The NFL picks have been okay, but we ended up getting that Vandy pick home last week, which was nice. But I don't want to take away from the lead here, all right? And this is not a joke. 2 minutes before we started talking, I'm getting texts from my wife, who's a big outdoorsy, nature, hippie-type person. She's the exact opposite of me. It's what makes the relationship work. Our home in Connecticut is kind of in the woods. If this isn't the sign to end all signs, we got bears walking through the backyard as we speak. And I'm not lying. Look at the Twitter account. Big bears walking through the backyard. I mean, that's got to be an omen for this weekend, is it not?
Don't mess with them, Joe. Don't mess with the bears.
I'm not there. I got the hell out of there before any of that wildlife comes through. Everybody
oh
sees
my
wildlife
goodness.
In my neighborhood but me. There's
oh
foxes.
Oh, my goodness.
Bears.
I'm watching.
Do you see the thing?
Yes, it's I'm huge. Seeing it, Joe. Go to at Joe Fortenbaugh, and you can see the bear walking in the backyard of Joe Fortenbaugh's house.
You got to charge that guy rent. Holy mother of God.
I mean, yeah. So here's the deal. Max Bet Chicago. I'll catch you next week.
Joe, you're being slowly surrounded. Oh, boy.
I will say, when it comes to the Bears, though, this weekend, unfortunately for Chicago fans, and this isn't, you know, it's not a death knell or anything like that, it has been Jacksonville money this week. The Sharp guys hit it a couple days ago. It was yesterday, actually, Thursday. It was about 2.5. Bears were the favorite. They were a 1-point favorite. It got bet all the way up to 2.5. And then we started to see the Jacksonville money come in. Mindset here, maybe the Bears are a bit overvalued off their last couple of wins against teams that aren't very good. Maybe Jacksonville's a little undervalued based on the slow start. That's where the money is. I have not played Jacksonville. There's a little bit of money on the over, which I found interesting because I talked to some guys who really like the under here, but we saw it go from about 42.5 to 44. So that's where we stand right now. Remember, you're walking into a bit of a trap. Jacksonville knows this London game well. They're very familiar with being over there. So that's a bit of an advantage for the Jags.
Even though they just arrived.
Yeah, so there's a couple schools of thought on how to handle that travel if you talk to some of the former players who have done it. One school of thought is get there as early as possible so you can get acclimated. The other school of thought is get there as late as possible. Don't even bother trying to get your body on local time. Just show up right in advance, play the game, and then get the hell out of there. If you go back to the UFC card that was in August, in Manchester, it was fascinating because you had a lot of local fighters there, but because they couldn't move the time based on the American broadcasting schedule, the main event went off at like 5 a.m. local. All the fighters who traveled in from other places like America had far more success than the local fighters who were on local time. The other guys came in late, they didn't bother adjusting, and they had a lot better success. So sometimes flying in late, some of these teams have realized is better for them because they don't even bother trying to get their body clocks on the local time.
What do you like? And I got to get an Ohio State Oregon idea from you, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we'll start with tonight. We're going to lay it with Utah -5.5 over Arizona State. This line's going to move. It might get through 7. It's starting to move because the word's trickling out that Cam Rising's going to be back. He's going to be playing for Utah tonight. It's not official yet, but Arizona State's a one-trick pony. They can't throw the ball. Utah's very good defending the run. Utah's off the bye. They're off their first loss of the season. I think they put it on Arizona State here, so I'm laying the 5.5. As we work our way into the weekend, I'd lay the big number with Illinois over Purdue. It's around 21.5. Purdue looks like they've quit on the season. They've lost by like an average of 34 points per game over their last 4. They've had several decommits over the last couple weeks from some of their key players. Hudson Card, the quarterback, rumor is he's in concussion protocol. Haven't confirmed it, but that's the rumor. That's why we saw the line jump from 19 to around 21.5 earlier in the week. Illinois coming off the loss, coming off a bye. I think they put it on Purdue. I want to be very sensitive with this one, and I want to make that very clear because I know there's a lot of tragedy that goes on, but because there's a sports betting segment, I just want to mention this one. Memphis is playing at South Florida. Now, we're certainly not trying to make light of the hurricane situation. But again, it's a sports betting segment. So if you want to be educated on this stuff, this is what guys in my line of work think about. South Florida is based in Tampa. The game was supposed to be tonight at Raymond James Stadium. Because of the hurricane, they moved the game to Saturday, and they're moving it to Orlando. Needless to say, South Florida is weak. has been disrupted quite a bit by this in terms of their preparation. They're also dealing with several injuries. Memphis is off a loss. Memphis is coming off their bye week. Memphis minus 7 is a bet some of the pros are looking at because of that situation. Again, not trying to make light of the hurricane, but when we talk sports betting, we're looking at different angles and handicaps, and I figured the audience should know about something like that because we've been doing this for over 10 years every Friday morning, and we do try to educate the audience. Couple others, LSU plus 3.5 over Ole Miss. Awful spot for Ole Miss. On the road for the second time in 2 weeks. They haven't had a bye yet. This is their seventh straight week with a game. LSU coming off their bye week. I'll take the points with LSU. I think they win the game outright. I would lay the 14 with Texas over Oklahoma. They're missing their top 5 wide receivers. I don't think Oklahoma can keep up in this game. They're not very good to begin with. Texas started slow in this game last year, and it cost them. I think they put it on Oklahoma. Late night game, Hawaii-Boise State, over 60.5. Should be a ton of points there. And then for the Ohio State-Oregon game, I am playing Ohio State minus 3. It is a smaller wager. Everything I mentioned to this point, I like more than Ohio State. I think Ohio State's defensive line against Oregon's offensive line will be the difference. I don't trust Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at Oregon. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people like him. Look, man, he was at Central Florida. He's at Oklahoma. He's at Oregon. If he's so great, he'd probably be in the NFL by now. So I'm just going to play Ohio State in that matchup. So to recap, Utah tonight minus 5.5, Illinois minus 21.5, Memphis minus 7, LSU plus 3.5, Texas minus 14, Hawaii Boise over 60.5. That's a robust card there, gentlemen.
This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. How robust is your NFL card, Joe?
It's looking good. This is where we've had some winners, so we look to keep it cooking here. I'm going to work in no particular order. Cincinnati minus 3.5 Sunday night against the Giants. Everyone's kind of waiting to see what the situation is with Malik Nabers, who's still in the concussion protocol. Cincinnati was minus 5.5 on the look-ahead line here. It's now down to 3.5. I think it's a great spot for Cincinnati. A lot of people haven't heard about this yet, but the Bengals defense had a players-only meeting this week. I think these guys are coming to play. They have let way too many opportunities slide by. They know their season's on the line, and the offense has been playing fantastic. I think the Bengals put it on the Giants. I would lay the 3 with the Lions over the Cowboys. Dan Campbell and the Lions coming off their bye week. It's only a 3-point spread. Jared Goff, 13-3 against the spread in his last 16 road games. I mean, this Detroit team should be able to pick their number against this Dallas defense. So I'd go over 27.5 on the Lion team total as well. I think they're going to have a big offensive day against Dallas. Baltimore minus 6.5 over Washington. I think Washington is going to be the big public dog. I think Baltimore is going to teach them a lesson here. This is that old step up in class game for the Commanders. They've been very good, and they'll probably find a way to score, but I think defensively they're going to go to school, and the Ravens are going to run it down their throat, and then Lamar's going to hit them big over the top. So I'd lay the big number there. That has public dog screaming written all over it. Patriots plus 7 over Houston. This is a tough one to swallow. Drake May's going to get the start. Houston is 4-1 this year. Their 4 wins have come by a grand total of 15 points. Okay, they actually have a minus 12 point differential on the season. Tennessee's point differential is minus 11. Houston's overrated. Nico Collins is out. That's 1/3 of C.J. Stroud's passing production gone. They might win that game, but I think it's going to be ugly. I take the Patriots plus the 7. Chargers, Denver, under 35.5. That one speaks for itself. It's going to be a rock fight. Jets plus 2.5 Monday night. It's what we call the dead coach bounce. Salah's out. These teams tend to pop 1 week after firing their coach. Last 4 years, teams the week after firing their head coach, 9-2 against the spread.
Wow.
So I'd look at that one. So to recap, Cincinnati minus 3.5 over the Giants. Lions minus 3 over the Cowboys. I'd also play the Lions team total over 27.5. Ravens minus 6.5 over Washington. You might want to lock that in. It's moving to 7. Patriots plus 7 over Houston. You might want to lock that in. It's moving to 6.5. Chargers, Broncos under 35.5. Jets plus 2.5. For anyone driving around who's ever able to keep track of all this stuff, God bless you. I don't know how the hell you do it.
Well, I think all anybody really heard is that there are bears running around your
house. Hide the house pests, Joe.
That's right, buddy.
Bears in the backyard. And if you hear the dog, we have this scary looking dog. He's a husky, but he's terrified of everything. So you hear him in the video screaming at the bear. His name is Runaway Jim. He's named after a fish song. Jim, Shut up. Stop drawing attention to the bear. You're not going to do anything about it. Just let the bear make his way down the street to beat the Jaguars this weekend.
Oh, you're the best.
Thanks, Joe.
You guys are the best. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
All right. That's our guy. Don't go to his house. But
Don't go to his house.
That's unbelievable.
The size of that bear.
I have retweeted it, by the way, just in case anybody hasn't had a chance.
Yes. Check out the X feed because it is something to see.
All right.
I can relate to that.
312-644-6767. I thought your bear was smaller. You had a bear that came up
to your
cabin.
In the
Poconos.
And
you actually wrestled with it.
I did not wrestle with it.
Well, I thought that was the story.
That's the legend. That's the one I'll tell in 10 years. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll work on that.
All right.
We'll make that a hell of a story. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.